song that we can praise our God with, our Lord is King of Kings. Such a good thought. If you're visiting with us today, you might note that we are studying through the Epistle of James on Sunday mornings, and we realize that James is addressing Christians in those New Testament times about some of the challenges that they face. And James may have been one of the very earliest books to be written. You notice that he writes to those who are the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. And it may be that even before the conversion of Cornelius that James was writing. And so when you think about that, we've looked at several lessons so far. Today we're in James chapter 3, beginning around verse 13. But as a very brief review, you might realize we started off and among these challenges that Christians face, we talked about the challenge of trials. We talked about the challenge of temptation and not blaming God. About impartiality and not being prejudiced toward others when it comes to our faith or our daily lives. And the challenge at the end of James chapter 2 of having a living faith, not a dead faith that has no works, but instead a living, active faith. And then last week, in the first part of James chapter 3, we talk about the challenge of good words, making sure that our words are pure and are right. Well, we come to today in chapter 3 and verses 13 through 18, and that doesn't show up too well, does it? I'll adjust colors later. But the challenge of godly wisdom. Now, I want you to think about this, and as we've looked at all of this, and sometimes it helps us to look at a particular topic by looking at what comes before and what comes after. So far, James has talked about these things that they have to face, that they're going to have to behave themselves in a certain way. And when we get to chapter 4, he's going to talk about wars among Christians. In other words, difficulties getting along with others. And so James calls upon these Christians to have great wisdom and to have godly wisdom as opposed to earthly wisdom. We've talked about in the Proverbs, wisdom, words to live by. And I would ask us as we look at this, why seek wisdom? Well, let's study what James has to say today. Such valuable guidance for us today as it certainly was to people of that day. I pointed out there in verse 13 that wisdom is shown. And James tells us, who is wise and understanding among you? You know, he's told them, get in control of your words. Don't treat one another with partiality. Don't blame God. All these things we've seen stacked up. Be active workers in God's kingdom. And he says, well, who is it that's going to do these things? Who is it that's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. In times of trials and temptation, we serve God with wisdom. When we think about living a life of impartiality and having a living, working faith, we use God's wisdom. And when it comes to getting in control of our words, we need God's wisdom. Knowledge is not enough. It's probably surprising, isn't it? Knowledge is not enough. From someone who preaches and teaches and trying to impart knowledge, I would have you to know that just knowing what is right is not enough. He's instructed them about all these things. And they're probably nodding, say, I get that. I understand that. And it's the challenge that we have as Christians. We get it. We understand it. Would you notice some words that he uses here? You notice that he says, let him show by good conduct that his works are done. It's not enough to know the right thing to do and to nod like this and to be able to even tell other people, this is the right way. The wisdom that we see here is wisdom that must be shown and must be lived. Knowledge is not enough. Another point that James points out here
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show. It is not possible for us to control another person. God did not give us the job of making people do a certain thing, because we can't do that. But you can only control yourself. You can only show this wisdom yourself. He uses a phrase here that I want us to think about for a moment before we get into some other verses. Let him show that by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. We have to be humble enough that we will sacrifice before the throne of God our will and do what God wants us to do. We have to be humble enough to be instructed by God and to change our lives to be what He wants us to be. The challenge of godly wisdom is that we have to be willing to do the things we know. James has not said anything in this book. James 1:1 through James 3:12 has not said anything in this book that is particularly hard to understand. Maybe hard to apply. And that's what James is saying. You understand this. It's clear to you. Now, do it. Submit. Show in your life whether you have the wisdom of God or whether you're a fool. Let's look at some other verses that might help us to take a look at this. In James 1 and verse 5, James has already said, if any of you lacks wisdom, isn't it interesting that he started out with wisdom in James 1 and verse 5? He gives all these instructions. Then he comes down here to the end of chapter 3 and he reminds them again, live according to this wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, He who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You're going to need wisdom to hear what I have to say, James says. And then he reminds them here again. And before the end of the book, we'll see some more guidance in that direction. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. The writer here says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. James is saying this is, James would tell us this is incredibly valuable. Solomon would tell us, get all the wisdom you can. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 13, it's a time when Moses is saying, I'm not going to be able to make every decision that you need for me to make. Can you imagine all these people? And they're coming before Moses and they're bringing all their problems. And he said, I can't do that anymore. And so we're going to need to set up some people that can help you with your day-to-day problems, some judges. And Deuteronomy 1:13 says, choose wise, understanding, and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. There's some people who need to be able to help others with the problems and the difficulties in their life, with the challenges of obeying the Word of God and solving problems that come up in day-to-day life. Choose the wise and understanding and knowledgeable men. Men, you can see it in their lives. I wonder if we lived in those days, or if that was the command for us today, how many of us would be able to show by our lives that? I thought about Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. There's a key word in Ephesians 5, if you go back and you read the whole chapter, maybe beyond just chapter 5 even. And that word is walk. And it has to do with the daily living, the showing forth who they are. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Seems to be a very similar thought to what we see that James is talking about. Show your wisdom. He has already said show your faith. Show your wisdom by the way in which you live. Paul doesn't tell the Ephesians just be wise. He says walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Live in such a way that your wisdom comes shining through, that God is guiding your life by His wisdom. Wisdom is shown. Proverbs 3, of course, if we're going to talk about wisdom, we dwell in the Proverbs a little bit, as we have in our Bible class on Sunday morning and Wednesday in the adult class. The Scripture says here, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. I read this, I thought, well, why is the man happy, or why is he blessed when he has wisdom and understanding? It says, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are paths, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. It's not enough just to have it and to know it. But here it says that when you live it, it makes a difference in the kind of life you will have. James says, these instructions I've given you, you need to show forth, you need to show who you are, you need to live it out. It needs to be evident in your life who you are. As we look on in James chapter 3, we see that he talks about that there is a false wisdom that this world, a standard that this world lives by. And if you think back a minute and you think about faith without works is dead, and learn how to control your tongue because it's untamable, you can't turn your back on it. And you think back to not showing partiality, that in those things, we see how the world's wisdom would lead them to do those things. Lead them to go against God and do the wrong things, to use the wrong words, to live by the wrong standard. It says in James 3, 14 through 16, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. When we have those things in our heart, they come out. And sometimes the wisdom of this world would say, achieve all you can achieve. Bite, scratch, and claw to the top. And we sometimes see that among God's people. I want to make the rules. I want to say how things are going to be. I don't want to do what God says to do. I don't want to think about others. I want to think about me. There's some things that are produced. We talked about having a word that has a words that have a dual nature. We praise God and curse men. A spring that would send forth fresh water and bitter. Duplicity comes when we have bitter envy and self-seeking in our hearts. We want to put on a show of religion and show others how righteous and good we are, but inside we're looking for something else. Did you notice what he said this wisdom is? He begins kind of mild. It's not from above. And he increases. It's earthly and sensual. And then he says, it's demonic. It's devilish. It's evil. Human wisdom. Human wisdom told men to build a tower at Babel to make a name for themselves. Human wisdom said for Saul to fasten on his big armor onto young David to go fight Goliath. Neither one of those things were going to work out very well. We have to look for God's way and do what's right to avoid the confusion and the trouble that's there. Do you notice that he says that when we have that envy and that self-seeking, confusion and every evil thing is there? In the Proverbs, and I didn't put this one on the screen, but in Proverbs 13:15, the end of that proverb says, "The way of the unfaithful is hard." When we reject God's wisdom and go after this world's wisdom, it's going to be tough. Back in the Old Testament, on the mountains of Ebal and Gerizim, the mountains of blessing and cursing, God said, if you'll be faithful to me and obey these commands, I'm going to bless you in wonderful, rich, glorious ways. But if you reject this and you follow your own way, it will bring a curse upon you. We'll see this even more clearly when we get to chapter 4, Lord willing, next week. But there's a false wisdom. People in this world will tell you the wrong thing. I've known people who were having problems in their marriages, and instead of looking to the wisdom of God's Word, they looked to human wisdom and their friends at work and out in the world. And instead of looking for a solution and the godly answer to their problems, they would see that they received this ungodly advice, the wisdom of the world. Sometimes, maybe it's raising children or whatever challenge you face in life, your financial troubles. Instead of looking to God's Word about how to resolve those, maybe you could get some not so good advice from people of the world. And it brings trouble and confusion and trouble with God because it's not the wisdom of God. In Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 14, Isaiah there records for us, "Therefore, behold, I will do a marvelous work among the people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden." The wisdom wasn't there. It was disappearing. It was dissipating. And what they saw as wisdom really wasn't. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." It says, "In which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires and the flesh of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." He said, you used to walk in that way. What the world saw, what the world approved of, what the world said was good. False wisdom. I suppose we see a lot today in our news stories about fake news. There's a lot of fake wisdom out there. That's not according to the Word of God. It's false wisdom. As Paul's describing very sinful people in Romans chapter 3, people who did not accept and follow God's ways, he describes them, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And I would suggest to you, those who don't fear God, there is no wisdom before them. In Jude verses 17 through 19, there's just one chapter, but in Jude verses 17 through 19, the scripture says, But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Be aware, when Jude gives these words of warning, he's talking about among them. They're going to have to contend for the faith, because among those who claim to be of the faith, there were people like this who did not have the wisdom of God, were not living by the wisdom of God. Well, as we look at verses 17 through 18, you might consider what else he says here, that there is a different kind of wisdom. He says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. It says there's two origins. Earlier he said that wisdom is not from above. He says this is the heavenly wisdom. This is the divine wisdom. It's the wisdom from God. It is the right source. Would you consider what each produces in your life? Confusion? Every evil thing? Here he says that it produces peace and gentleness, willingness and humility to yield before God, a life of mercy and good fruits, and a life that has peace, a life that brings a blessing. When we live according to God's word, we live lives that are full of peace, peaceableness, and peacemaking. We may have conflict in the world, but with God, we live before Him in peace. And as much as is within us, we live before others with peace. And this wisdom, remember that the wisdom is shown, it should guide every word, that untamable tongue, every action, the faith that is working, every relationship that is without partiality, it guides us in every way. I mentioned that we think that James was probably one of those early books, and I have no doubt that the leftover pride that the Pharisees that had battled with Jesus, that Jesus so strongly condemns, is maybe still at work among some of these early Christians, wanting to ascend to the top, advance themselves. Maybe they had been converted, but as they had been very advanced in Judaism, they may have wanted to advance in a similar way in Christianity. And he says, no, it's that first word, pure. No bad motives, no underlying thoughts and intents. It's just simply pure, wanting to do what God says we must do. I thought about 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. Paul's there talking about the struggle that some of the early Christians had with those things that were offered to idols. And he said, concerning those things that are offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. I think here is the point. You get it. You have the knowledge. How about putting a little wisdom alongside your knowledge? And, as Paul says, a little love, so that you can treat your brother in the right way, so that you can have peace and mercy and gentleness with your brother. Paul talks about this wisdom in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 and 21. And he says there, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Worldly wisdom doesn't see the value in serving God. It doesn't see the value in the gospel. He says further in the next chapter, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So I go back to James. He writes to those people, have a pure, truly pure heart, and treat one another with that kind of kindness and mercy and gentleness and peacemaking. And people would say, you got to be kidding me. If you live like that, you're going nowhere. Well, I think James and Paul and the writers of the New Testament and the Holy Spirit would tell us, well, we are going somewhere. We're going to be with God when we can live like that, when we can have that heavenly wisdom in our life. Paul points that out to the Colossians. In Colossians 3, beginning at verse 1, he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Have the heavenly wisdom, not the earthly wisdom. And then also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul tells this preacher, you must continue in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Well, what wisdom do you want? The heavenly wisdom to make you wise for salvation. Hope you'll think about these things as we look at James chapter 3. Lord willing, next time we'll pick up in chapter 4 and verse 1. But we also have a challenge of having this godly, heavenly wisdom. Are we showing it in our lives? Are we living it? Do we hold ourselves by a different standard than we ought to, by that worldly wisdom? Or are we looking toward the heavenly wisdom that leads to a heavenly home? When I think about the world's wisdom, I can't tell you in any way that I would understand how the world's wisdom would lead you to say, I want to be baptized. I want to be immersed in water so that my sins can be washed away and that I can please God. But heavenly wisdom tells me that. It tells me that I need to die. I need to be buried in water and raised to walk a new life. Even as Christ died, He was buried and He was resurrected from the dead. If that's something you need to do, or if you need to be restored to faithfulness this morning, I'd have you to look into the Word of God. Not look at how the world sees things, but look at how God sees things. And if we can help you to be restored or to be reconciled to God, we'll do that now. Just come have a seat on the front as we'll stand and sing the song.